Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the UFO Whistleblower Marathon. This is part three of the three-part series. Remember, all of these gentlemen have testified in front of Congress under oath. Today we have Eric Hecker, who is a firefighter contractor for Raytheon, which is a military-industrial complex company. And he was in Antarctica at a Raytheon facility and says that Raytheon has the technology to produce earthquakes all throughout the planet. If you like what you see, please like, subscribe, and comment. Go to Spotify, go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, and you content creators out there, we've seen you all taking our content, making your own stuff, putting it out on the internet. Most people probably don't like that. We love it. So we made it easy for you. Go down. There's a link in the description. Has lots, hundreds of free downloadable raw reels that you can download for free. Make them into whatever you want. Monetize it. Make money off of it. Put it on TikTok. Put it on all the social media channels. We appreciate it. All we ask is that you tag the show. I love you all. Enjoy the last part of this series. It was a really good one, and we'll see you soon. Eric Hecker.
Sean.
Welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you very much for having me, sir.
My pleasure. So, you are the only testimony that I did not get to hear at the conference. I had a flight, and the conference went way over time. And so this is totally fresh to me right now, and definitely fresh to the audience. But just a little intro on you. So you were a contractor for Raytheon, which Raytheon, how would you describe Raytheon?
I would say that Raytheon is a military-industrial contractor that normally is making weapons and targeting systems for the military, and oddly enough had a contract to provide JANO services at the South Pole Station.
Interesting. From 2010 to 2011, you were a tradesman and firefighter in the South Pole. Antarctica as a contractor for Raytheon. You spent 366 continuous days at the South Pole. You were experimented on as a child and trained to be a remote viewer.
Correct.
Through a program called Stargate Project. Submarine service in the Navy. Plumber for the wealthy elite on Long Island prior to Raytheon and experience with UFOs.
Yes.
You're a whistleblower for the benefit of humanity. Why are you blowing the whistle now?
I'm blowing the whistle because I'm obliged to. I don't know anybody that's walked a similar path to me in life. So it's necessary information that gets out there. I wish that I could be relieved of the task, but until I can find someone that can properly handle this information, I have to be on point for it.
Roger that. Well, just like everybody else, we always start off with a gift.
Thank you, sir.
If you don't guess this, what's in there? Pull them out.
You got it. We have genuine Vigilance Elite gummies.
Nice.
Legal in all 50 states.
They are. They're legal in all 50 states, believe it or not.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I think they're still legal in all 50 states. I don't know. You know,
laws change very fast nowadays.
The tyranny might start coming after candy next. Who knows?
Yeah.
But today, we're here to talk about Raytheon Technologies Corporation. Raytheon is an aerospace company that provides advanced systems and services for commercial, military, and government customers worldwide. Probed for corruption in government contracting since 1980s. You were in the South Pole from 2010 to 2011. Let's talk about what you were doing down there.
You got it.
What were you doing down there?
I was contracted for the summer season as a plumber. I did well enough in my summer season to garner a winter contract as well, which got me my full year's stay. I was also tasked with being a firefighter. I was a lead on the firefighting team, and because of that dual role capacity, I physically held a key that opened every single door in the facility. I had complete access to every compartment they manufactured. That was a rare position to be in.
What are you blowing the whistle on?
That there are technologies at the South Pole Station that people can't even consider that exist on this planet.
Like what?
Directed energy weapon systems is something that people need to get into their vocabulary fast. The Ice Cube neutrino detector is not simply a passive listening device as presented for the science that they're claiming it to do. It also has the capacity to transmit. There are embedded in the ice what are called digital optical modules, DOMs. They're about the size of a basketball. The array embedded in the ice is 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer. It is the world's largest telescope. And now, because we have proven that it can transmit, it's the world's largest directed energy weapon system. It is responsible for the earthquakes in Christchurch, New Zealand in 2011 on the front end of the year.
How do you know for a fact that that was responsible for that?
Because I was present and I have gone over this with the pertinent people, but I will not be releasing their names.
Okay.
But I was on the team, let's just say, and I've confirmed this.
Well,
I've provided documentation from the actual manufacturer's specs. So this unit was constructed, operated, and maintained by the University of Wisconsin. And just like every other device on the planet, whether you're driving an M1 Abrams tank or operating the Ice Cube neutrino detector, there's operator's manuals that tell you how things work. Right there in that information, free for everybody to find. I found it myself. I was directed to find it, I'll put it that way, and release this information. And it states very clearly that each one of these DOMs can transmit at 2,047 volts each. So these are currently the facts of life.
How do you know? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, how did it even come to your attention that this triggered an earthquake? If you're at the South Pole and New Zealand had an earthquake, I mean, how did you know it came from the South Pole?
Without divulging names?
Without divulging names.
I could only say that it was communicated to me from team members that were present and fully read in at the time, that they were aware. And since that time...
at the immediate, like the same day?
Oh, absolutely. It was understood.
Well, what was said?
That we accidentally hit Christchurch, New Zealand twice when they were trying to fire up this weapon for the first time. That it was friendly fire. It was not on purpose, but it occurred. That the system is designed for that. And it was just friendly fire.
So this is a telescope. That sounds like a... Is it a telescope?
Absolutely. It is a neutrino detector, for sure. It can accomplish its primary purpose. It can also transmit and then provide a multifaceted platform for directed energy weapon systems.
Do you have any idea how the earthquake was initiated?
From misfiring the system.
Where
were they targeting?
Yes.
I don't know.
Does it go into the earth? Into the atmosphere?
It can definitely go through the earth. I would consider that it might be able to do stuff in the atmosphere. I haven't heard that statement laid at its feet. But I wouldn't put it past it. I don't want to try to limit the functions of this device by my imagination or experience. I believe that's one of the problems with directed energy weapons, is they are not like standard weapons of old where you have a gun and a particular caliber bullet. You pull the trigger and it does one thing. These platforms are way more complex than that. They do a lot of things.
What else do they do?
Excuse me. This system, additionally, in regards to the neutrinos, it detects the neutrinos that are apparently coming off of the new exotic propulsion systems for either off-world UFOs or reverse-engineered stuff on our planet.
What is neutrino?
Neutrino is a near-massless particle that goes at, close, or beyond the speed of light. It is so small that it can pass between the electron shell and the nucleus of pretty much every atom on the planet. In the capacity of being detected at the South Pole Station, when the neutrino impacts the nucleus of the water molecule of the ice in the glaciers at the pole, a reaction occurs. The nucleus and the neutrino become destroyed. A muon is created and ejected, and a blue flash of light known as Cherenkov radiation flashes in the ice, and that's what the DOMs, the digital optical modules, are detecting. That's their primary purpose as presented. Now, whether that neutrino comes from a quasar out in space or a exotic propelled engine off of vehicles that aren't being discussed contemporarily, it detects it, thus making it basically an air traffic control center for all non-discussed vehicles on this planet. So just like we have all the other air traffic on the planet and it's being completely observed and attended to, there's just another level of craft on this planet and another level of air traffic control tower that exists. This is that facility.
Back to tracking neutrinos. Why are they tracking those?
Oh, for the purposes of science, they're claiming that there's a lot to be ascertained by understanding the difference between low power and high power neutrino ejections from cosmic occurrences. It's about that vague. This is what they spend our tax dollars on.
Let's talk about the... Well, what else do they do?
The device is also for faster-than-light communications, quantum-entangled communications at great distance. In, I guess it was the late 80s or early 90s, Gary McKinnon hacked NASA. And he found the list of the off-world space fleet and the captains of the ships, respectively. We have a fleet out there. If we have a fleet out there, we need to communicate with them. This is that facility.
Can you explain quantum entanglement communications?
Yes, I don't think most people understand what I'm about to say anyway, but I will. The way quantum entanglement works is that you can take two particles, quantum entangle them, and then take those two particles and move them at any distance in the cosmos. And let's just say, for example, if you quantum entangle two electrons and you have them spinning in the same direction, and then you take one of those electrons and you shoot that thing out 100,000 light years from the original. If you then rotate the spin on the one electron, if you modify it so that its spin changes, the quantum entangled electron at any distance will simultaneously, in no time, switch its rotation also because they're quantum entangled. So these communication systems are taking advantage of this aspect of quantum mechanics that most people can't wrap their heads around, and this is what they're utilizing. It's just the new level of science that affords us the ability to communicate at any distance instantaneously.
I've heard about this. I've tried to dig into it, and it's hard to understand.
It is hard to understand. It would be my best way to put it is that when electricity first came out, it was very hard for a lot of people to understand what Nikola Tesla was getting at. But everyone was using it before they even understood it. And this is just where we are right now. It's just a new technology. It's a new conversation. People don't have to understand it yet. They just have to realize it's real.
What other kind of things can this?
Oh, boy. Voice-to-skull technology. This is also in the foray of directed energy weapons.
What is that?
The ability to, let's just say, throw your voice into your head or my voice into my head, or allowing algorithms that now they can blanket a whole geographical area and they can make everybody change their thoughts. They can. I use the term intrusive thoughts. Back to that fork in the road analogy, if you find yourself where you have to make a decision about something, next thing you know, you catch yourself kind of having an argument in your head with your own voices. Well, the ability to add another one of your voices in there, but have it controlled by somebody else's microphone, so to say, is a very powerful tool. And I think this is a weapon of war that we are seeing happen to everyone around us. The Department of Defense recently started initiating protocols for their employees, their agents, to discuss Havana syndrome-like symptoms. And on that list is that their agents are hearing voices in their head. And this is what they're getting at. This is that technology that, you know, next thing you know, you're trying to make a decision, but there's another Sean in your head that now is actually somebody else's control. And through the manipulation of that voice, they can now push you, just like we have, you know, the cell phones are weaponized now, the social media platforms, and they can engage with an algorithm, and they know that they can push you in a direction by repetitive information being displayed in front of you, similar to the tachistoscope in grammar school, that they can learn your system, and they can learn to manipulate it on a personalized level by just assessing you, what the things are that you're interested in, what are your weak points, what's the crack in the dam, what's the angle of attack. And it's through repetition and access. These are simply electromagnetic impulses in your head. It's not that they can't be read. It's not that they can't be copied. And it's not that they can't be just replayed with somebody else's control. I mean, I could get a voice-changing thing and I could sound like you if I wanted to. I could call you on the phone. I could call your loved ones and I could pretend I'm Sean. They can do that for you in your own head.
If you're a business owner and you're hiring right now, you are also dealing with economic uncertainty. Now is the time, more than any other time, that you need to hire the right people faster and more efficiently than ever before to keep your costs down. Thankfully, there's a site like ZipRecruiter. From pricing to technology, everything that ZipRecruiter does is for you and what works best for you. And right now, you can try them for free at ZipRecruiter.com/SRS. Here is how ZipRecruiter prioritizes your needs. Reach more qualified people. ZipRecruiter sends your job posts to 100-plus job sites. Beat out the competition for talent. ZipRecruiter lets you invite candidates you really want to apply to your job before other businesses can snag them. Hire the best with the help of a partner who's all about you, ZipRecruiter. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free, ZipRecruiter.com/SRS. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/SRS. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
I want to start my comments with looking at the causation of this crisis at our southern border. You know, it wasn't more than a couple years ago during the Democratic primary that your boss, now President Biden, said during a debate, "We're a nation that says you want to flee, you're fleeing oppression, you should come."
What's with the open borders? What are they hoping to accomplish?
Well, I don't think it's, you know, one simple answer like a lot of things. I think it's complicated, like human beings are complicated, but I think there's a couple different buckets there, in my opinion. I think there are globalists around the world and within our own country that don't want to see, you know, they don't want to see borders anymore.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations.
How are you finding all of this out?
Years of research. The McDonald's Corporation just had an ad come out a few months ago that they're looking into research and development in a technology that will afford them the ability to pump their commercials into your brain while you're sleeping. You think that they figured this out, or some other company figured it out first? You think if they're going to have this available to them next year, you think that there weren't agencies that have been wielding this for a decade or so?
Where can I read about this?
It's immediately available on the internet that McDonald's put this out there.
McDonald's
Corporation is looking into putting commercials into our brains while we're sleeping.
And that's, we can look that up.
Absolutely.
I got to look that up.
Understood.
I've not heard of that.
Understood. But now imagine, if they can do that next year,
who's
been doing it for the last decade or so?
I'm with you.
Right?
100% with you.
So now when we look around the world and we see everybody acting the way that they are acting, let's consider that these intrusive thoughts have already been present. What do we do about this? This is the these are the weapons of war contemporarily. It's very unfortunate, but it used to be that war was a bit more noble when we selected people, we put them in uniforms, we sent them over there to the battlefield, and we said, fight for us. And effectively, that would have been an act of attrition of each nation's resources until there was a victor. Now, unfortunately, they've circumnavigated the battlefield. Nobody's dressed in uniforms anymore, and the front line is every neighborhood that we're in. And the infrastructure is still under attack. It's just that now the average mortgage payer is in the line of fire. The list of Havana Syndrome-like symptoms, which my South Pole crew and many South Pole crews are suffering, that other agencies are suffering, if people pay really close attention, they're going to notice that these symptoms are prevalent in the general population as well.
Interesting. I interviewed a former CIA agent about this who has Havana Syndrome and has been speaking out on it quite a bit. His name's Mark Polypernopoulos. But is there anything else going on down there? I mean, we just went through a lot of stuff here.
Yes, actually. There's a system known as ELF, extra low frequency. It's also a massive antenna that's embedded in the ice there. When I arrived to the facility as a tradesman and firefighter, I was read into how everything worked because I needed for the safety of my crew to be able to battle fires and engage things appropriately. And at the onset, I was told that the ELF system is off. It's defunct. It's disabled. It is just sitting dead in the ice. But through my need to make an additional repair on something else and tracing back to a sub panel, I was finding the circuit that I needed to lock out, tag out, and do all the safe repairs. But then I noticed that this other breaker that was supposed to be off was in the on position, and it was listed as the ELF. And I ran it up my chain. I said, what's going on here? I said, this is supposed to be off. I was told it's off now. And I was just given a hard, it's on. And that was the end of my need to know. They didn't want to tell me anything else. You have identified the circuit that you need to work on. You have been informed that you can safely do your job. Carry on. So I did my job. I made the repair that I needed to on the circuit next to the circuit that I was now informed is duly on and operating. So the ELF is up and running. And that, again, is a multifaceted directed energy weapons platform.
Do you have pictures of any of this stuff?
I have a lot of pictures of me in these facilities. They mostly just prove my presence.
If you hand those over, I'll display them on screen right now, if I can get them.
I can get you pictures before you present this to the world.
I would appreciate that. Let's talk about the clear air system called Arrow.
Yes.
Commonly referred to as the no-fly zone.
Yes. The Arrow building, ARO, is the Atmospheric Research Observatory. It is listed on the chart, the one that I gave you as well, as a no-fly zone in the vaguest sense of the term at first glance. But as any pilot knows, there's always, you know, fine print. So the no-fly zone, as listed at South Pole Station because of Arrow, simply provides a limit to the ability for a plane to fly too low. It sets the floor at 8,000 feet. You can't fly below 8,000 feet. A lot of people like to try to claim that there's a hole at South Pole Station and there's a no-fly zone that protects from you flying in an area that'll see the hole. And that's just total shenanigans. The no-fly zone limits your ability to fly low, not high. So with that height available, you will see everything available to see, which is ice as far as the eye can see. There is no hole in the ice at the South Pole Station. There may be one somewhere else. I can't testify to the entirety of the continent. It's huge. All I can say is that when people are talking about there being a hole at the South Pole, they're full of crap. They don't know what they're talking about. They're taking something that they know very little about and just running with it. They say in other ways that, you know, a little information is a dangerous thing, and that's what these people are doing, is they're operating off of very little information. The Atmospheric Research Observatory, as I testified in D.C., I witnessed myself in doing my standard rounds in the winter season at South Pole Station that that building would, with great regularity, have a very powerful green laser beam shooting out of it into the cosmos. I believe through other things that I've located there, which is the chilled helium in a massive amount, it is chilled down to 4 degrees Kelvin in storage, which my understanding, this is something new that I'm learning about. It's called superfluids. Superfluids act very differently than other things in our scientific spectrum and are used for things called chemical lasers. Well, we had a superfluid and we had a laser. So I believe that what I'm learning on this is that it was probably a secondary means of long-range communication and or another weapons platform. June 18th was my birthday, right after Dr. Greer's event of June 12th. On June 18th, the National Science Foundation website could have posted anything they wanted for a photograph. But on my birthday, I would say I got a gift from someone in the program because they posted a picture of the Arrow Building's green laser blasting into the cosmos, which verifies exactly what I saw.
Interesting. And you think that might be a communication device? How would they be communicating with the laser?
I don't understand the science of it. I just know that it exists.
Okay.
The laser beam communication, direct line of sight, laser beam comms, microwave type comms, it exists.
You say a lot of the crew members from the South Pole are experiencing Havana Syndrome symptoms. What are some of those symptoms?
They have mental degradation, troubles with their memory, fatigue, stuff like that, skin issues.
Headaches?
Yes.
The Antarctica Treaty of 1959. An agreement signed by 12 nations in which the Antarctic continent was made demilitarized to be preserved for scientific research. What do you think about that?
I think it's a load of malarkey. And I'm going to throw a gentleman's name out there that I have worked with. He told me very specifically at the time that we communicated. He's going to die when he sees this video. I worked with a gentleman by the name of Aaron Bontrager. And he was also previously contracted by Raytheon Polar Services as a cook to work on a cat train that went across the ice. And he said the express purpose for him, I should say, for that team working for Raytheon was they were searching for missile site locations.
No kidding.
Correct. The whole idea of this being demilitarized is a load of baloney.
How do you think they're getting – how are they powering this facility?
I believe there's a secondary power source inside of the old pole that was built in 1957.
What do you mean the old pole?
The original pole, I should say, built in 1957, we referred to as old pole. There was other facilities that were manufactured, different stages of inhabitation of crew. So 1957 was the first one. It predates the Antarctic Treaty, which means that they could have had nuclear power there. I believe they did have nuclear power there, and that since then they may have maintained it, almost like a grandfather clause, or that they may have new, more exotic systems that are not in the legalese of the treaty.
Why do you think Antarctica is a no-fly zone?
Antarctica is not a no-fly zone.
Well, Arrow, commonly referred to as a no-fly zone. Why?
It's a misnomer. You can fly right over the no-fly zone. You just have to be higher than 8,000 feet.
Well, I'm asking, why do you have to be higher than 8,000 feet?
Oh, because they're doing science on the cleanliness of the air, so they just don't want it tainted. Similarly, there's no land traffic allowed in that area. So you can take a snow machine. If I wanted to go visit the building to do my rounds, I could take a snow machine up to a certain point, and then I had to stop the snow machine and walk because simply the exhaust gases from the machine would taint their sensors. So the only reason they're trying to block out vehicular activity is to keep the exhaust gases out of their sensors.
How do you get there?
How do you get to Arrow?
Yeah.
It's within walking distance of the elevated station.
How do you fly into Antarctica?
You fly in with a Herc LC-130. Herc on skis, and you just come in from outside of that quadrant, or above 8,000 feet.
Okay. How much air traffic is going around there?
During the summer season, it's 24 hours of operation. They typically have a few Hercs on deck idling most of the time, and a lot of fuel is brought in by Herc. Our waste is brought out by Herc when the airmen will allow themselves to be a flying garbage can, as they claim. But yeah, basically almost all operations and logistics were done by Herc. While we were there in my 2010 season, they had brought in their first fuel haul over land as kind of an experiment to the process. And it's my understanding that they call this a traverse, that they have since increased traverse activity to drag large fuel bladders across the ice to resupply the fuel that way, being more economic than doing it by Herc and then affording that volume of Herc space that's not being utilized for fuel now can, of course, do other things. The flight operations are almost 24 hours a day during the summer season because nothing moves in the winter season. So everything has to occur in a certain window.
Okay. Man, back to the putting voices in people's heads. Are you aware of any ways to defend against that?
Know thyself. It's an ancient practice, and it's an ancient practice for a reason. These modern technologies are bastardizations of ancient techniques. Way back in the day, they would call someone a magician who was adept at this skill. I could walk into the room, and I would potentially have that skill set to put my thought in your head. It's just a technique. It's completely doable. But now we have people that are no longer going through these schools of nobility to learn to practice these things nicely. And we have evil people that are taking technologies and utilizing them. Because, again, it's just simply electromagnetic impulses. They can be read. They can be used. They can be hijacked.
Eric, is there anything that I'm missing that you want to bring to the public?
That's a great question. I want to emphasize that we are currently in a state of war that people aren't realizing.
What is that?
These weapons are being wielded around us, against us. There are power players that are above nation states. Geographical boundaries and political parties mean very little to the wealthy elite on this planet. We're pawns. We're chattel. I am a person for the people. We, the people of this planet, deserve a better future than the one we are being presented. We've all, through our blood, sweat, and tears, we've invested here in the United States. We've invested our taxpayer dollars for these people to create weapon systems that they're using against us. It's a sin. It's illegal. It's a sin. It's immoral. And we have to do better for the future generations of this planet.
Are you worried for your safety?
No.
Why not?
I'm just simply beyond that. I don't really care what happens to me. I care about doing the right thing.
Do you think you're in danger?
I guess theoretically people don't like me doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, I would say probably not.
Fair enough.
But work, if that's it, that's a lot of info in a short amount of time, and I really appreciate you coming here and inform us all. Mm-hmm. So have you been approached by any media outlets?
I've been approached by a lot of people.
Really?
And I pretty much tell them to go scratch.
Why do you tell them that?
Because I can tell from the way that they approach me, they're not looking to do justice by what I'm saying. They're what I refer to as dissipators, people that are looking to waste my energy, divert it into the wrong direction. I'm very fortunate, and I would say blessed, to have met someone like yourself who seems to be on the up and up and going to fight the good fight on this stuff to get to the actual brass tacks truth and present it to the world in an untainted capacity. There's a lot of bad things going on this planet. I'm sure that you've experienced it yourself firsthand, and you're aware that a lot of people don't know that these things are happening in the shadows. I want people to know what's really going on this planet so they can make educated decisions about what they have to do to protect themselves and their children.
Well, that's very noble of you. Man, I really appreciate it. That's a lot of info to process.
I understand.
It's going to take me a minute to come up with questions, and Would you be willing to come back?
I would love to come back.
Let me digest this, and then we'll come up with a date and do a longer form interview. I gotta wrap my head around this stuff.
Understood.
In the meantime, be safe. Thank you for coming out here, and it's an honor to meet you. Thank
awesome.
Hey, everybody, I'm Sean Ryan. Click here to subscribe to the Sean Ryan Show YouTube channel for the hottest and most compelling interviews that you will not see anywhere else. I've also made a playlist of all the previous SRS episodes so they're easy to find. You can find that right here.